The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So we began this series last week. Easter was a great day of celebration. We celebrated with close to 600 of you, and it was awesome. We had a great Easter egg hunt afterwards, over 4,000 eggs in the back. Let's have a hand for our team that pulled off that Easter egg hunt. Let's hear it. Let's let them know it. And we kicked off this series called Love Like Jesus. Over the next, continuing the series, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the aspects of Jesus and his life. Jesus did nothing just to do it. There was purpose behind every action. There was love behind every step that he took. And as Jesus loved, he calls us to love like he loved. One of those things that we're going to look at today is the way that Jesus demonstrated love was by offering forgiveness. I know that today might be a difficult message for many of us here, because sometimes Jesus calls us to do something that's not easy to do. Sometimes God calls us and leads us through things in life that we, instead of wanting to accept them in love, we get bitter towards God. God, why did you let this happen? Why are you allowing this to unfold the way it is? And God calls us to a deeper journey with him that isn't always just easy paths and beds of roses. Sometimes the path that God calls us to travel is going to be hard. And he never promises to be easy, but he promises to be with us each and every step of the way. Today we're looking at the life of Jesus and how Jesus taught on forgiveness. Not just that he was here to give us forgiveness, but how he calls us to forgive as he forgave us. How many of you have been to a drive-in movie theater? Anybody been to a drive-in? How many of you have never been to a drive-in movie theater? Okay, well, you're in luck. Drive-ins are on the comeback. There's one in Stevens City about an hour from here up towards Winchester, and there's actually one down towards Richmond in Goochland, and both of them are pretty awesome, and you should try to go. I remember growing up as a family, there was on Colfax in Denver, our family would go to this drive-in. I actually took a prom date to a drive-in. Don't think anything bad. I wanted to surprise her, and I had rented a U-Haul truck and parked it there, got permission, parked it there earlier in the day. I set up a candlelight dinner with takeout Chinese food on the inside. Of course, I went for top-quality Chinese food. And we pull in and pull up next to this, and my date's like, what are we doing at a... This isn't where the dance is. What are we doing? I was like, well, most people go out for dinner first. And she's like, why are we here? I'm like, well, let's check out this U-Haul. Opened it up, and it was all set up, ready to go. So, yeah, pretty cool, huh? So, drive-in movie theaters. How many of you saw E.T. when it first opened? A lot of you weren't even alive back then. I saw E.T. At a drive-in movie theater, and we rolled in with our boat on wheels. Some people called them station wagons, but... it was this gigantic wood-paneled station wagon, you know, made out of steel. You could get on top of the roof, and it wouldn't cave in. You know what I'm talking about? Not like our cars today. You put a box up there, and whoop, it just sinks right in. So we were at this. I was about 10 years old, and we're watching E.T. at the drive-in movie theater, and our parents allowed us to make a bed on top. That's how strong this station wagon was. And we made a bed on top, and we would sit on top of the station wagon and watch the movie. My parents are relaxing on the inside, and my brother and I are chilling out on top, and all of a sudden, I got to go to the bathroom. The bathroom wasn't too far. It was maybe about as far away as that screen is from where I'm standing. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to ask Mom and Dad for permission. I just got to go real quick, and I want to get back before the movie really gets into it. So I snuck off the back of the station wagon. I ran to the bathroom and did my thing. And on my way out of the bathroom, I hear someone say, John, and I turn around, and it's my bus driver, and he's here watching E.T. as well. This is so cool, and I'm sitting there, and I start talking to my bus driver, and we're talking a little bit, and all of a sudden, he says, hey, come on over here real quick. I want to show you something, and what happened in the next few moments was something that was devastating. My bus driver kind of just grabbed me by the shoulders and pulled me into a part of the bathroom where nowhere else was. And as some devastating things started to begin to happen, I was able to push him and kick him and run away. And I ran out of that bathroom so fast, and I went and ran back to my car where my mom and dad was. And I remember seeing different shows about animals and the animal kingdom. And, you know, they say one of the fiercest animals to upset is a mama bear, right? You mess with a bear's cubs, and you better watch out. I saw that unfold in my mom, okay? My mom got out of that car so fast. She ran over to that bathroom where this man was, and she threw him down and tackled him. She then pinned him to the ground and sat on him until the police showed up. My mom, yes, we got some people cheering on my mom out there. I'm 10 years old. The next couple years, our meeting with attorneys, are having to tell the events as they unfolded. And this man was put in jail for a little while, but was allowed to get out. I don't know why, but he was allowed to get out before the trial. And while he was out, he hurt two other girls. And as a 10, 12-year-old kid, that kind of stuff just has a way of scarring you, has a way of just causing you to say, God, why? Why? My family went to church those days. I believed in Jesus. I didn't know why this was allowed to happen. During that time, I remember sitting in church one morning, and the pastor was teaching on a passage of Scripture, and he read from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. The passage of Scripture says this: "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And as I heard those words and thinking about what had happened to me and what happened to those young girls, it hit me. And I don't know if you understand. I mean, I know and I believe from statistics that many in this room have experienced some kind of hurt that would be similar. You've been abused or mistreated in some way in your life. And we find ourselves hearing a verse like that, and that's hard to swallow. God, are you really saying that if I'm not willing to forgive that man for what he did, then I'm in jeopardy of not being forgiven myself? What do we do with this? Panic set in, and I found myself, you know, really struggling with how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this? Well, today we're continuing, and we're looking at Jesus loved us. And you got to remember, we just celebrated last year the resurrection, but before the resurrection, there was the persecution, there was the crucifixion. And the Romans had a way of perfecting torture. If you study the cross and the process of crucifixion, it wasn't the nailing you to a wood tree that caused you to die. It was the process in which they could allow your suffering to outstretch over time. And what often killed somebody on a cross was suffocation. As an individual had their arms bound or nailed to a crossbeam and their feet nailed to the center beam, they would find the weight and their weakness just pulling down on them, so much so that they couldn't take a breath. They'd have to use all their strength to push up to try to take a breath, only to collapse again. And if somebody was there too long and the Romans had just had it, they would go up and they would break the legs of the individual on the cross, so that they couldn't push up anymore, and suffocation would set in, and they would pass. Well, as Jesus hung on that cross, the people around a week earlier were yelling, "Hosanna!" They wanted this king to set them free. But as the week unfolded, they realized that Jesus had not come to establish a kingdom like they hoped, and many of them were yelling, "Crucify him!" They were now standing in front of him in the cross and hurling insults and spitting and mocking him. And we're told that during the mockery of the trial and the whipping and the torture, that different guards, while Jesus was blindfolded, would take turns hitting him and saying, "If you're really King of the Jews, if you're really God, guess which one of us did it." Others said, "If you saved others. Why don't you save yourself? And during this excruciating pain, the word excruciating, do you know where the root is? It means to come from the cross. That's even our word excruciating finds its roots in what happened on the cross. And while Jesus was enduring that pain, the scriptures say in our place, he uttered the most loving, compassionate, full of grace and mercy prayer ever said. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said this. As all of this was happening to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus is on the cross, being beaten, surrendering his life, and the very beings that he created are seeking to kill him. And he utters the words, "Father, forgive them." Jesus is asking forgiveness for what seems to be something completely unforgivable. And the truth is if we live long enough, each of us in this room will experience some kind of pain, some kind of hardship. Some of us from people we love, people who are dear and near to us, people we trust, they will hurt us. And maybe you're in this room and you're dealing with some kind of unforgiveness, some kind of pain. And you know what? You have every right to be hurt. You have every right to be angry. But Jesus calls us to something deeper, something bigger. Some of us in this room, you may have been betrayed. You may have been lied about. A boss may have mistreated you. You may have had a family member turn their back on you or walk away from you. You may have had something that has caused you to be mad and bitter towards God. You don't understand why he allowed whatever it was that happened to happen. You may have done something yourself and you can't forgive yourself. What we need to understand about the truths and the commands of Jesus is God never calls us to do something that he doesn't enable us to do. And this morning in our short time together, I want to try to give us a couple principles that if we put these things into practice, we will begin to experience the healing that God intends us to have, the healing so that we can be freed to offer forgiveness. How do we do this? How do we forgive like Jesus forgave? Number one, the first thing we do is we begin to pray for those who have hurt us. Pray for those who have hurt us. Luke 6:28, Jesus said, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you." When I heard these words in that teaching, when I heard the pastor teach on if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven, it hit me. I remember a parable that Jesus taught. One day, one of Jesus' closest friends, Peter, came to him and said, "So Jesus, let me understand this right. You want us to forgive others, right? So if somebody sins against me, am I supposed to forgive them seven times?" And Peter, I'm sure, thought, you know, I'm giving the godly answer, the spiritual answer. I'm using the number seven, you know, that perfect number of God. I'm not just going to forgive once, two, or three times. I'm going to be ultra spiritual. I'm going to forgive seven times. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? Not quite there. You don't forgive seven times, but you forgive 70 times seven. And Jesus didn't say this number so that you would pull out a number list and, you know, you're getting close. It was Jesus' way of saying, you don't stop. I will never stop forgiving you. And therefore, you should never stop forgiving others. Regardless of how deep they've hurt you. Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet, but not only did he teach it, but he demonstrated it for us when he went to the cross. In the midst of that torture, he cried out, "Father, forgive them." He went and illustrated this principle by telling the story. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Imagine there's a kingdom and there's a king, and this king has decided the day of debt collecting has come. And he called forth all the servants in the kingdom to come before him. And this one particular gentleman comes before the king. And the king looks at him and says, you know what? You owe me millions, buddy. Pay up now or I'm going to have to put you and your whole family into debt to me and in prison until you work all of this off. And the man fell to his face in front of the king and begged for mercy. Please, king, just give me some time. I will do all that I can. Please don't throw me and my family into prison. Let us have time. Let us work this off. We'll pay back every penny. Please, just give us a chance. Jesus went on to say that the king showed mercy and had pity on the man and said, okay, I'm going to let you go. And you know what? You don't have to pay me back. I forgive the debt entirely. You're free to go. So this man left the presence of the king, and he went out. And once he got to the streets, he noticed across the way a fellow servant who owed him $1,000. And Jesus said that the man ran to him and grabbed him by the neck and started to demand, you owe me $1,000. I want you to pay up right now. We don't know exactly why this happened. We don't know if this man somehow thought, you know what, the king just forgave me of millions, but what if he changes his mind? I better start collecting debts wherever I can. I better start making money so that if that king changes his mind, I'll be able to pay him. You know, some of us live that way. We've been told that we've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. We've been told we've been forgiven. But we are living day in and day out trying to earn that forgiveness. You can't earn it. It is a free gift given by God. None of us can earn God's forgiveness, but some of us were beating ourselves up trying to somehow earn something that we can never earn. We don't know exactly the motivation behind this guy in the story, but we know that he demanded to be paid here and now. And the man said, I'm sorry, I don't have the $1,000. Please give me a chance. I will pay you back. And this guy said, no. He called the authorities and had the man thrown in prison and said, you're going to be there until you pay back every penny. Well, those who were onlooking and saw this went and told the king. The king demanded that this servant be brought in front of him. And he said, you wicked servant, I demonstrated mercy to you and forgave all of your debt. Should you not have forgiven the debt of your fellow servant? He goes on and says, then the master called the servant, your wicked servant, verse 32 of Matthew chapter 18. Your wicked servant, he said, you wicked servant, I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is some hard stuff to swallow and hard to follow. How do we do this? How do we forgive like Jesus forgave? How do we practice loving like Jesus? Number one, as I've said, we pray for those who've hurt us. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who have hurt you. When I first heard these teachings and my only prayer was, God, I'll pray for him. God, do something to him. It wasn't God, forgive him. It wasn't God, help him. It was God, get revenge. Pay him back for what he's done to me and to those girls and who knows what else he's done. But as I started to think about what Jesus did for me, and I thought about the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 44, it says, you have heard it said that love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what the Jews have been taught all their life. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you this, Jesus said, here's something different. Here's a new command. I want you to love your enemies, and I want you to pray for those who persecute you. Those who would have been hearing this, the Romans and the Jews alike, hearing Jesus teach these words, the Romans were in shock because this man, he had taught some things that were interesting. It seemed like he knew what he was talking about, but love my enemy? Pray for those who are against me? What are you talking about? The Romans worshiped a god of revenge. Something happened to you. You went and prayed to the God of revenge. Pay them back. Somebody messed with your donkey. I'm messing with their donkey. I'm getting them back. The Jews, for instance, they heard the law, the Jewish law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. Somebody driving down the street flips you off, you have every right to flip them off. Just don't have a Hope Hill bumper sticker on your car, okay? Jesus said, I tell you this, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Has there been somebody in your life that's hurt you? Has there been somebody in your life that has brought devastation to you? Jesus says, pray for them. Has there been somebody who has mistreated you, abandoned you, gossiped about you, lied to you? Jesus says, pray for them. As a young teenager, 12, 13 years old, I started praying for this man. And my prayers went from God, make him pay, to God somehow, let him come to see who you are. God, if there's some way, heal him. If there's some way, God, use him. As much as I didn't want to pray for the person who hurt me, and as much as you don't want to pray for those who have hurt you, it's not a suggestion. Jesus says, pray for those who have hurt you. A key principle that we need to understand about prayer is prayer doesn't always change our circumstances, and it may not always change the people you're praying for. But prayer will always change you. And as I began to grow up in life, as I experienced people who were causing pain and hurt to others, I started to see that what was it that caused that person to be that way? What kind of pain or hurt did they ever receive? And my heart started to break for people as I started to pray for them. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Number two, we need to learn to forgive as you have been forgiven. When I look at my own life, I know the depth of some of the things that I've done. And I know that God's forgiveness is freely made available to me when I confess my sins and I come to Him and I ask for forgiveness. He does not withhold His forgiveness of me. How can I withhold forgiveness from somebody else? How do we forgive as the Lord forgave us? Colossians 3:13 says, forgive one another. If you have any grievance against somebody else, forgive them. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What kind of forgiveness do we offer? Forgive as the Lord forgave us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, if we admit to God that we know we've sinned, and we admit to see our sin through His eyes, I should not be doing this, God. I still struggle with this. Please forgive me. Help me. I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I need your salvation. I need your grace. It says that He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are called to forgive just as God forgave us. There are many things in life when done to us that we have the right to get revenge. If somebody hurts you, according to our justice system, you have a right to seek punitive action against them. You have the right to sue people. You have the right to have people thrown in jail. You have the right to get paid back. We have a lot of rights. But Jesus is here to tell us that we also have the right to forgive others. That opportunity you have to seek vengeance and repayment is an opportunity for you to learn to love like Jesus loved and forgive as Jesus forgave. The truth about forgiveness is there's undiscovered miracles and healing on the other side of forgiveness. Some of you, you're under the burden and the weight of bitterness that is in your life because you're holding on to a grudge. You're holding on to some past hurt that you don't want to deal with anymore because it's too painful. You've pushed it to the side. You've hidden it under a carpet somewhere. You don't want to think about it because it's too painful. But today is the day that you need to bring it to the cross and realize that whatever pain that you've experienced in your life, Christ felt it as well when He hung in our place. He knows the pain that we suffer and deal with, and He is there to deal with it with us. And we bring that unforgiveness to Him, and we say, God, I can't let go of this. But like the great theologian in the Frozen movie from Disney, we have to learn to let it go. We have to learn to let these things go. What good is it to hold on to a grudge when it just keeps you up all night? You keep making lists and counting the ways. I am so angry, and here are all the reasons why I'm never going to forgive that person. And we build this list thinking somehow we've proven that we have the right to be hurt. We have the right to be angry. We have the right to not forgive. And you know, the only one we're poisoning is ourselves. Anne Lamont, sociologist, says unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. What kind of unforgiveness and grudge are you holding on to? Some of you, you're holding on to unforgiveness for something that was done by someone who isn't even alive anymore. And it's time to let it go. It's time to come to God and to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. I can't do it on my own. I need You to help me to forgive as You forgave. Help me to forgive. I need You. And for some of you, that may mean that you need to go to a friend or a counselor or someone who can help you to work through that struggle in your life. But don't do it alone. This grudge, this unforgiveness is simply a weight around your own neck. And you'll never experience the freedom that Christ has for you. The process of forgiveness is difficult at times. For me, it was realizing that this man was struggling with his own issues. I didn't want to forgive him. I didn't want him just set free. I wanted him to have to pay for what he did. I realized that God wanted me to pray for him, and that was hard. But as I started to pray for him, I realized that I needed to also forgive him, and I also needed to find a way to lift him up and ask God to change him. I don't know who this man is. I don't remember his name. I've been tempted at times to go back and see if there's public record of this in any way, shape, or form, and find out if this man, and maybe write him a letter and tell him I forgive him. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus forgave me. The truth is if my prayers have been answered, then this man may have come to know God in some way. He may have sought forgiveness. He may have repented. He may be a person being used by God right now. There may be a day that I meet this man again in heaven one day. Because Jesus died for his sins as well. Jesus died to forgive him. Jesus died to forgive whoever hurt you. Jesus died for the sins of the world so that all of us would know His love and His forgiveness and be made whole in Him. And that day that we learn to forgive is the day that a prisoner can be set free, and that prisoner is you and me. Jesus said, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let's pray. Father God, we need You. Your truths are not easy to follow. They're not easy to understand. So we need You. Each and every one of us in this room is desperately in need of forgiveness from You. We are in need of Your love in our lives. We're in need of the hope and the healing that only you can bring. So God, we many times are quick to run after you to say, forgive me, God help me, God forgive me, God heal me. And as we receive your love and your forgiveness and your grace, you then say, my child, I love you. My child, I forgive you. Now go and love and forgive those who I've placed around you. And this, God, is where we need your help even more. So I pray for my friends in this room who may have been hurt, who may have been wounded, who may be carrying around a cut that is still open, that is still so fresh because we've been hurt by somebody close to us. I pray that you would help us to see through your eyes, to love as you love, to forgive as only you can forgive, and that you would bring healing to us as we seek you as our Heavenly Father and say, God, I can't forgive on my own. I can't deal with this pain in my life on my own. I need you. You promised to be with us through every single step. So God, I pray for those in this room, myself included, to be able to continually come to you with these burdens and lay them at the foot of your cross and say, God, as you forgave me, help me now to forgive others. God, I also pray for those in this room. If there's somebody here who has never come to a point of fully realizing how much you truly love us, if someone is here this morning and they've never come to a point of realizing that you are there to forgive us of every sin, there is nothing we need to hide from you. There is nothing that we need to not confess to you because you see it all already. You just call us to admit to you, God, I am sorry for what I've done. Forgive me. And at that moment, God, your scripture tells us that you will unfold your forgiveness and your love in our lives. So God, I pray if there's somebody here that has never called out to you as Savior, as the one who can forgive us, that they would do so right now. If you're here this morning and you've never called out and given your heart to Jesus and asked him to forgive you and surrendered everything to him, the Bible tells us that the moment you call out to him, his love will unfold in your life. His Holy Spirit will come to make you new, to forgive you and to wash you white as snow. You can just call out to him and say these words right now. Father, forgive me. Come into my life. Make me new. Thank you for dying on a cross for me and taking my sins upon yourself. Come into my life and forgive me and make me new. Help me to follow you. Father God, I also pray for those in this room who know you as Savior, but they're struggling with hurt. They're struggling with forgiving others. God, let us see that in you this is possible. In you there is hope, there is freedom. We can come to know you in a deep and rich way as we let you show us how to forgive others. As our worship team closes us and leads us through a time of reflection, as you think about these things this morning, I know that these words are difficult and they don't just go away in an instant. Some of us, you need a process, and that process begins with you just admitting to God that you need his help. So if this morning, before you come to receive communion, your first step might be to seek God for forgiveness. Jesus said, if you come and present an offering to me and realize that you have unforgiveness harbored in your heart, first deal with that unforgiveness and then come and receive what I have to give you. This morning, as we receive communion, Jesus said, as he was with his friends that last night, he took a piece of bread and he broke it and he said, this bread is a symbol of my body broken for you. And he dipped it in a cup and he said, this cup is a symbol of my blood shed for you and the forgiveness of your sins. As you eat and drink of this, remember what I've done for you. So as we receive communion this morning, receive his forgiveness and receive the command that we are now to go and forgive others. This morning, if you want to pray with one of us, we have members of our prayer team in the back, on the sides of the room, and I'll be up here at the front. If you want to pray about an issue of unforgiveness in your life, if you want to pray about receiving Jesus' forgiveness in your own life, one of us would love to pray with you this morning. More than anything, let God's Holy Spirit speak to you now. And come when you're ready and receive His love and forgiveness as we take communion together. Father God, move among us now, I pray. In your name, respond now how you feel led.